Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. This episode is the third episode in the series that I'm doing on what to focus on depending on where you are in your fatigue recovery journey. So previous episodes have been on what to focus on while you're bedbound, then what to focus on while you're housebound. In that episode, I also talked about like the messy middle transition space when we're kind of housebound, but we're going outside. And so are we housebound? It's kind of hard to know sometimes. But in today's episode, we're going to be talking about going back to work. And so this is for people who, for whatever reason, feel that they are ready to go back to work. A full transparency on my own journey was, I shared already in the bedbound episode, like I was never bedbound. But when I was at my, what I would consider my lowest point of my own journey, we were in lockdown. So I, although I was not technically housebound, the situation certainly made me housebound, but I was still able to go out for some short walks. But I would find, for example, like going to the supermarket, very overwhelming, that, you know, just the idea of having to drive myself to the supermarket and then go in, get a few things and come home felt like a lot. It was doable, but it was a lot. And with the awareness that I have now, I was probably also still pushing through so much at the time as well. So it's really difficult when I think about my own journey to reflect on where I am. I never categorized myself. Oh, they were like, I'm housebound or, you know, whatever it was. I was just dealing with my day to day without putting myself into a category. But I guess if I had to put myself into a category at that time, I would have said I was probably housebound. But at the same time, throughout my whole journey, I continued to work, mostly because I could work from home. I was my own boss, so I didn't have to work full time. I could just do an hour of work and then go lie down, and then an hour of work and go lie down or whatever. So in my own journey, I never had that same going back to work issue that maybe a lot of people will have. You know, some of my clients are on paid sick leave and they're almost like on a time frame. They're like, oh, I have to be ready to go back to work in 6 months. Or I have other clients who are maybe thinking like have left their previous career and then they're thinking of a career change and thinking about going back to work in a completely different way. And then I've got clients who've just been out of work for like a really long time and then trying to get back into their careers and not really sure how to navigate it. So there's lots of different considerations when we think about this episode. But I think what I'm going to do is just address it generally from those people who maybe have a role that they're going to go back to, not necessarily talking about like career change and all of that in this episode. So what I would say, even though I didn't do it this way, I would say in an ideal world, you would want to go back to work when you feel happy with your current life, but you feel like there's capacity for more. And you also would have to be okay with the fact that as you go back to work, there might be a drop in other aspects of your lifestyle. So if you've been exercising more, and then you go back to work, you might have to start exercising less again in the short term. If you've been socializing more, you might have to not socialize as much because you need more rest to recover from your work day. So this is the ideal scenario. But in reality, a lot of people go back to work because they need the money. And therefore, they're just doing whatever they can to survive. And I would say that was me. One of the reasons why I never stopped working was out of financial necessity. I've always felt that it would have been like really great to just have not had the pressure and to have just had proper time to look after myself and not to have to continue pushing through in that way. But I was also given the gift of, you know, being my own boss and having the flexibility and hours and things like that, that made it manageable. And in some ways, it did give me structure to my day. My work is very purpose-led, so it gave me a sense of purpose and a sense of structure that I think I would have probably felt quite lost if I didn't have. So there are pros and there are cons. But in an ideal scenario, we would transition back into work when we really, really felt strong enough to do so, not because we are pushing forward out of necessity. The other thing to consider is, you know, if you're going to have to commute as part of your job, are you comfortable with the walking? Are you comfortable with the driving or cycling or public transport? And it's not just being able to do the walk or do the drive or do the public transport, but you know, often when we're pacing and managing our energy, we would do those things and then we would do something relaxing afterwards, not necessarily work. So can you handle the stimulation of travel, commuting, and then going straight into something which is maybe also a little bit dysregulating, which might be a stressful work day, depending on the nature of your work? So that's just something to consider is, are you happy enough with how your journey is going? Do you feel stable enough? Are you happy to take a step back on some aspects of your life in the short term to allow for more rest? Can you handle the commute? And then also just things to check in is, in previous episodes, I spoke about doing, you know, certain protocols, which can sometimes be hard on the body. So for example, if you're detoxing from mold, if you're doing like a low oxalate diet, if you are taking antimicrobial herbs, if you're working on, you know, like more complicated protocols that maybe make you feel a little bit worse for wear, that's not the time to also be going back to work. We kind of want to have done those protocols already or to be in a stable routine with work and then knowing we have the capacity to get knocked backwards a little bit by something like that. You also don't want to be building up exercise and going back to work. You don't want to be like making lots of social commitments and going back to work. You're physical activity levels and your social life should feel pretty stable. And as I said already, it might also have to take a step back in the short term to accommodate the extra energy for the transition. And then finally, we also just want to make sure that life isn't throwing us some really big stresses at the same time. So there hasn't been a recent loss or a recent relationship breakdown. You haven't just moved home. You don't have like a sick loved one or an elderly parent or a sick child that are going to need more of your emotional, physical, and mental energy to cope with. If these big stresses are ongoing in your life, that's also not a great time for you to be taking on the next big change, which is going back to work. Obviously, sometimes things are in the pipeline and then life happens and sometimes it's unavoidable and we just have to deal with it in the best way possible. But this is the picture of the ideal scenario that I'm painting for you. So if you're ready to go back to work and you kind of think, yes, now is the right time. I'm not trying to increase exercise or socializing or doing complex protocols. I don't have other major stresses. Then things to think about would be really giving space for the transition. This is something that I just never, ever did in my life. I never gave space for things. I was constantly just going from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing and never really giving space. So you may want to, as I've said already, reduce commitments in other areas. You may need to increase self-care and allow for more rest, you know, make sure your diet is really great, early bedtimes, Epsom salt baths, just unscheduled time, not filling your weekend calendar with socializing and kids things and nights out or whatever it is. You really want to keep a very minimal social calendar so that you just have space. And granted, some people need more space than others. I'm someone that needs a lot of space. So I'm really going to emphasize this making space thing. I feel like I need space for all the times in my life where I didn't have enough space and I'm like need extra space now. Your system may not be wired like that, but mine definitely is. And I think a lot of people do have systems that are wired for needing more space, but they just don't acknowledge it. So I just wanted to plant that seed into your awareness. And then we want to make sure we are caring for our physical body. You might not be doing complex, intense protocols, but you want to eat well. You want to manage your blood sugar. You want to make sure your digestion is working well. And hopefully by this stage, you've addressed and you're aware of nutrient deficiencies that you might have, but there might be some things ongoing that you need to continue to support. And then in terms of the practicalities, so we've talked about physical self-care, timing, making sure you're looking after yourself. But then there's just the practicalities of the transition. A lot of my clients will do phased return to work, so they increase their hours gradually. That's even what I did with my own business, because I always worked the whole way through my journey. But through my own experience with chronic fatigue, that was what solidified this is the niche that I want to work in. And so then as I was marketing more to that specific niche, then I would take on new clients. And in the beginning, I had like an upper limit, like this is how many clients I could handle in a day. But as my physical and nervous system capacity has grown, that number has tripled. So I have, in a way, even as a self-employed service provider, I have done my own phased return to work in a way through building my fitness for the job, so to speak. Gradually returning, gradually increasing your hours is going to give your nervous system time to adjust, but it's also just going to build up your fitness, the fitness of your brain to stay focused and, you know, be able to do all the tasks. That's going to be a really important thing. And that takes time. You know, it's like training in the gym. We need to stress the body and then we need to recover. And then we need to stress the body and then we need to recover. And it's the same with cognitive work as well. Maybe your job is even a physical job. And then you are stressing your job physically through your work and then you're needing time to recover as well. Highly recommend work from home or hybrid working if fully working from home isn't an option for you. It just means you've got, obviously, the stress of commuting is one less thing to worry about. You've got more time in your day for resting, less organization in terms of, you know, taking all your healthy food to work with you. And then you always have you have a place where you could lie down and rest and take good breaks. Your home should be your safe space. And when you're at home, you have all your creature comforts, or what we would say in nervous system language, or your resources are surrounding you. So when you're well resourced, you're going to have a greater capacity to deal with the stresses of work. And that might also be part of a phased return. You start working from home, and as that feels good, then maybe you can go and spend more time in the office as well. It can be helpful if you have a flexible start time and a flexible finish time, which means maybe that some days, if you're not feeling so great, you maybe could start a little bit later and finish a little bit later, or maybe you prefer to spread your hours out throughout the day so there's more of a rhythm of activity and rest and activity and rest and pacing. You know, some people are morning people, like I'm a morning person, so I would prefer to do all my hours in the morning and then have the rest of the day to rest. But everybody is going to be different. And having that flexibility that you don't have to log on at a certain time just takes some of the pressure off. And we know that nervous systems that are prone to freeze, which is a lot of the chronic fatigue community, need less pressure. So the more things can feel easy and unpressured, the better. It's also really important to be clear on boundaries and expectations. This should be discussed with management and colleagues. The expectations that you set with others, and also the expectations that you set on yourself. And sometimes we put the biggest demand and the biggest pressure on ourselves. And we're saying that other people are expecting this or demanding this, but the reality is that's just us that's telling ourselves that. So again, taking the pressure off, having a lot of compassion for where we are, having a lot of patience, meeting ourselves where we are in the journey, the attunement that I spoke about in the previous episode is going to be really, really important here. And if you do have to go to an office, it also can be helpful to make sure that there are places where you can have sensory breaks. So there might be, I mean, different offices are set up differently. I don't ever have experience of working in an office, so I can't say, but I would hope that most places have somewhere that you could go for some quiet time, even if it's just an outdoor space. And that you can do nervous system settling exercises periodically throughout the day so that you are having quality regulating breaks. But also if it's within your capacity to go for a little bit of a walk, get in, out into nature, you can use noise cancelling headphones and just make sure that you have your resources around you, whether that's healthy foods, healthy snacks, good blood sugar management, supplements that you find supportive. These things are just worth considering so that you can be the most comfortable that you can be. And I think sometimes there can be some shame around asking for what we need. Many people have arrived in a place of chronic fatigue because they've just learned to push through for so long. And often that's conditioning that comes from childhood when our needs weren't met and we learned that we just have to keep going and like look after ourselves. And so therefore admitting and then having a conversation that we are disabled, we don't have the same abilities as maybe someone else in the office, can feel really, really shameful. And this is where it's so important that you have enough confidence and enough agency to know that your needs matter and to advocate for them, because you are hopefully going to want to stay in this job for a long time. You're also going to want to be able to build your capacity to go back to work full time or build your hours up or progress in the company, whatever it might be. And that's not going to happen if you're shooting yourself in the foot from the get-go. You have to approach this as a marathon, not a sprint situation, where just getting through the workday isn't good enough. You need to have a working environment which supports you so that you can grow and thrive, and this can be sustainable for everyone. Because it's probably likely that your company wants to keep you. It's a hassle to have to find someone new. So ideally, this needs to be a good fit for everyone, and it needs to feel sustainable for everyone. And if it's not sustainable, it's important to have those hard conversations so that your needs can be met and you can be accommodated for. That brings me to the end of this little series. I'm still thinking about if I want to do one more episode, which is on what to do if you're high functioning but not thriving. I do have a few clients actually who are working full time, but they are not thriving. And that's why they're working with me. And I think a lot of the things I've spoken about in these episodes are, you know, applicable across the board, but there's maybe one more episode here. So stay posted and we'll see what happens next. But thank you for listening, and I hope you have enjoyed this series.